This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
What happened in our skit? It's about having respect one for another. Amen? And we saw how Acorn did not have respect for her cousin because she went and took his guitar without even asking him. Amen? So that was kind of interesting there what we see. Praise God. So today we're going to talk a little bit about this subject, okay? And because this is really happening right now, we're going to go right into this. I'm going to share some things at the end. We're going to make a few changes on some of our announcements, okay? But we'll do that after. We won't do that right now. But I want to today talk to you about a story in the Bible that has to do with having respect one for another. So I know you've read this story before. And how many know the story of Jacob and Esau? Jacob and Esau, amen? We're going to read here what happened to these two brothers, okay? These were twins, and what did they do to each other? And we're going to talk about how Jacob disrespected Esau. And as we study that today, you can relate a little bit to what you saw, the skit that was done up here. The subject matter today is overcoming disappointment. Okay? Overcoming disappointment. Has anybody ever been disappointed before? Okay, maybe somebody was supposed to do something for you and they didn't do it. Maybe somebody did something they were not supposed to do to you. Could be all kinds of different things today. Maybe there was a lack of communication. Different things that might cause disappointment to come, okay? I can tell you, as a Christian, and even before I was a Christian, I'm sure I had different things that happened to me that caused me to be disappointed, but one time that I can share with you before I get into the message today, dealing with disappointment, which was probably one of the most difficult times in my life, was when I was at our previous church where I was there for 24 years. And I know I've shared a little bit about my experiences at that church. That was my home church. I served there for many years. And when our senior pastor decided to retire, we then had to have a vote for a new pastor, okay? And Pastor Rich was the associate pastor for years, was the right-hand man of the senior pastor, okay? I was mentored to be the next pastor, okay? But before we had a vote on who we decided was going to be the pastor, we also had another candidate who was our youth pastor. He decided to put his name also in as far as being possibly the next senior pastor. So to make a long story short, we had a meeting and had a vote, and Pastor Rich thought he was going to be the next pastor. But guess what? Pastor Rich didn't get voted in. And that was, if I can say to you, that was disappointing me, okay? That was, if I've ever experienced any kind of disappointment, that was a time of disappointment for me. That was a time that I didn't understand. Lord, why did that happen? Okay? But through all that situation, how many know God brings all things together for good? Amen? I don't think you know this, but if I had been elected pastor there, I probably would not be here this morning. How many understand? Amen. But when I go back into my life and I think about disappointments, okay, that was a period in my life that was disappointing because I thought this is what was going to happen, and it didn't happen, okay? But God worked in all that, and I don't bring that to you this morning to tell you that it was a bad thing, okay? It's just what happened. Was it God's will? Was it not God's will? There's a lot of different things I can say about that. But it was a period of time that I had to overcome disappointment, okay? If I was to ask every one of you today about one experience of disappointment, I'm sure you could think of something like that. Trisha's nodding her head. Yes, okay? Some of you could probably think of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay? Disappointment. It happens in our life. Not only as a person today, but even as a Christian, disappointment comes sometimes, okay? The question is, how are we going to deal with it then? What are we going to do to overcome disappointment when it happens in our life, okay? Let's look at the scriptures here as we study about Jacob and Esau and Isaac. Let's go to Genesis 25. We're going to study, there's three different chapters that we have reference to dealing with this story here of Jacob and Esau and his mom and dad, okay? And this really relates to the skit and also to the subject that High Point has brought out last night, and I believe this was the second lesson dealing with disappointment, okay? And this will help us today because today, I don't know, but some of you might even feel disappointed today about something, okay? I brought you my experience from, that would be now about 10 years ago, that experience I had. Am I disappointed today about that? No, okay? I was able to overcome and move on, and we need to do that today also too. So let's read here about what happens with Jacob and Esau and their family, okay? Genesis 25, and we're going to read verses 24 to 34, okay? Very interesting story here, and this is a true story, okay? Let's look at the verses, verses 24 to 34. It says, "And when in her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb." All right, we're talking here about Rebecca, Isaac's wife. Amen. "And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau." I'm going to read through this and then we'll go back and comment on it. Amen. "After that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was threescore years old when she bare him." Isaac was 60 years old, okay? "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison." That's deer meat, by the way. "But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sod pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom." It's another name here for Esau. Verse 31. "And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day,' and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Interesting. Very interesting story here. Okay? There's a lot in here. I'm just going to try to summarize here a little bit about what we see take place here. But you have, in verse 24, you read about twins. Okay? Rebekah was having twins. Amen? And we see in verse 25 that the first one came out, and he came out red. And it says here, he was like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. Esau means hairy. Okay? He had a lot of hair. All right? Maybe some of the mothers here can think back to when you had your children. Some children had quite a bit of hair. Some didn't. Okay? Every child's different. But Esau, he was a hairy one. Okay? That's what the name Esau means. All right? Now, right after Esau then, in verse 26, we read that his brother came out. Okay? Esau was the firstborn. Amen? Then we read that his brother came out, which was Jacob. And look at that verse 26 here as you look back at this. It says, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. So as Esau is coming through, amen, as Rebekah is giving birth to Esau, Jacob's hand grabs a hold of Esau's heel on his foot. Can you imagine that today? All right. Now this means something, okay? As we read this story and understand this story, this is a sign of things to come. Okay? I mean, how often do you hear of women when they have twins that, you know, one child comes out and then the other child is right behind, and that child is holding on to the heel of the first child. Okay? This means something here. It's a sign of what was to take place between Esau and Jacob. Okay? Very interesting. So we read about how old Isaac was, 80 years old, when Rebekah bare the children. So, you know, I don't know if we see too many fathers that are 60-year-olds today that are having children, but, you know, we do have women that go up quite a bit in age, and we know back years ago it used to be a little bit different how old they used to even bear children, okay? Times have changed as we've gone on, all right? Now, in these verses to come, we read about who these two brothers were, okay? Maybe some of these things we read about here, we can look at ourselves and say, you know what? I'm like Esau, maybe a little bit. Or maybe I'm like Jacob a little bit. All right? These represent people today. They represent even us as we study about their lives. But we read here about who they were. As these boys grew, it says, Esau, he was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. Okay? A skilled hunter. Praise God. A man of the outdoors. All right? I like to hunt. Praise God. I like to be outside. Okay? I haven't been able to hunt for probably 4 or 5 years, but I like to hunt deer. Okay? So I can relate to Esau here a little bit. Okay? I got Carmella laughing here. Praise God. All right? I have some similarity to Esau. Now, he was a skilled hunter. I don't know how skilled I am. I try to be skilled, okay? Try to do good at when I hunt, all right? Then we read about Jacob. It says Jacob, he's the total opposite here. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents, okay? A plain and quiet man, Jacob. So you got one brother who's very outgoing, outdoorsman, likes to be outside, right? Likes to hunt, enjoys probably the weather, enjoys the scenery, different things, okay? And then you got Jacob. He's a quiet guy. He's a plain guy, and he likes to stay inside all the time. All right? He dwells in tents. He, like us, we would like to stay in our house all the time. Okay? Does anybody ever know anybody that's like that? They don't like to leave the house. Okay? I know people like that. They like to stay home all the time. Amen? And then there's other people, you can't get them to stay home. Amen? They're always out. They're always running. They're always doing stuff. Totally opposites. Well, here's Esau and Jacob. Totally opposites here. Okay? Even though they're twins, they ain't nothing alike. All right? Now, I don't know how it is when you have twins, if they're usually always different, or are they alike. I know when you see twins, especially young children, you see them always dressed the same, right? But how much they're alike, I don't know, okay? Only the parents could tell you that when they have twins, okay? So it's different, I'm sure, for everybody, all right? Now, as we go into the story here, look at what happens here. All right. Verse 28 tells us that Isaac, which is the father, loved Esau. Okay. And why did he love Esau? It says because he did eat of his venison. All right. So Esau would go hunt and kill deer, and he would bring the meat to his dad, Isaac. Carmela's smiling because I know she eats deer meat. She cooks deer meat. Praise God. I haven't had any for a while, but it's good. If you never had it, you need to try it. As long as it's cooked right, it's very good. So Isaac, the father here, he loves Esau because Esau makes him eat good. Okay? All right? Dad likes and loves Isaac here, right? But you notice here it says Rebekah, the mother, she loved Jacob. All right? So different, both of them. Father likes Esau, and the mother likes Jacob. This isn't like us, is it? You know, my wife and I don't have children, but we did have, you know, a niece that lived with us years ago and stuff. So we've never had more than one child at home. So we have not experienced having more than one child where maybe she would, you know, love one child more than the other, and the same with me. We haven't experienced that. But here you see the story, that's how it is. And I think with a lot of families, that happens, okay? In the story here, that's what takes place. What I notice here is that there's some favoritism. Amen? Dad favors Esau, and mom favors Jacob, okay? Is that a good thing today? No, probably not, right? We should love our children the same. But if you're honest with me today, mothers and fathers who are here, I'm sure that's happened to you in your family maybe. Where you, Frank's raising his hand, amen. Where you favor maybe one child more than another for whatever reason. But we have to be careful with that, okay? We need to make sure that we don't do that because that can cause a problem, right? When you favor one compared to another, right? And what I see is that one was partial toward one, all right? Because they favored one, they were partial towards that one. And the other one, the opposite, okay? It's not a good thing. We have to be careful with that, all right? That could cause division. It could cause offense in the family. Amen. How many know, even in the church, if Pastor Rich favors one family more than another, that's not a good thing. I'm going to get you going here in a minute, right? Praise God. We shouldn't favor anybody, right? We shouldn't be partial one person compared to another person. Pastor Rich should love everybody the same. No amens. Do you want me to love you the same? Okay, just making sure. Praise God, all right? So here what we see is that, have you ever heard this term? Oh, this is daddy's girl. I'm sure Carlos hasn't heard that one before. Amen. This is daddy's girl, right? Or have you ever heard the term, this is mama's boy? Right? This is mama's boy. You know, I come from a family of two boys. All right? And I'm like Jacob. I'm the younger one, okay? And my brother is like Esau. He's the older one. But always in our family, it seemed like my mom, she favored me more than my brother, okay? And my dad, maybe my brother more than me, all right? So I can relate to this today, amen? Can you relate to this, right? So we hear these terms, and this is what happens with our families. But we need to be careful of that we don't cause problems amongst family. And the point of all of this is respect, okay? Do we respect each other like we should, amen? Do we respect one sibling like we do the other sibling, amen? Do we love one brother as much as we love one sister, you know? Do we show favoritism more towards the brother than we do the sister? On and on and on, okay? We see the family here and how they were. Now let's go into this because we want to read through these scriptures and go on and bring the explanation here. It says, so in 29, Jacob says here, Jacob sowed pottage and Esau came from the field and he was faint. So Jacob was home while Esau was out hunting as he normally does, and Esau comes in from the field and it says here he was faint. Okay? He was tired. He was hungry. Amen. How many know when you go and work, when you come home, you're usually ready to eat? Amen. Babe, what's for dinner? Right? What are you cooking? You know, you come in with your nose like this. What, pasta? Are you making pasta today? Amen. Right? So here we see Esau. He had come in from the field and he was hungry. Okay? He was ready to eat. And look at here what happens. Praise God. It says, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me. Amen. I pray thee with that same red pottage. You know, that stew is what he was making here. Praise God. Stew. All right. How many like stew today? Amen. Beef stew. I like that. Sounds good. I better not talk about it too much. Maybe some of us are hungry here today. Amen. So he says, feed me, Jacob, I pray thee, with that pottage, you know, that soup that you made. And we find out as we read this, he was making lentils. Lindik. Amen. I get some of you smiling at me. When I talk Italian, you all start to smile at me when you're, you know, a soup, lentil soup. Amen. I call that when I go to a restaurant and they have lentil soup, I say, I'll take some Bible soup. Amen? Because that's what it is. His Bible soup, right? Lentil soup, all right? So here we see Esau, he says to Jacob, you know, I want you to feed me. I want you to give me something to eat because I'm weak. I'm faint. I'm hungry. I've been working, right? I've been out in the field. And we understand here that it says in 30, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, okay? Here's another definition. For Esau is the word Edom, which means red. Okay? It means red. The word Edom means red. And this was another name here for Esau. Kind of strange. Esau, Edom, which means faint, which means red. Okay? Now look at how Jacob takes advantage of his brother. Has anybody ever taken advantage of their brother here today? Or sister? I know you're not going to raise your hand. You're not going to just tell me. Praise God. But I'm sure you have. Okay? And you're going to see the way these two brothers are. Okay? We're talking about respect one for another today. Amen? Look at how Jacob responds here to Esau. In 31 he says, and Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. What kind of brother is this? Amen? Instead of saying, okay, Esau, come on, have a seat. Have some lentil soup. I just made it. It's hot right off the stove. Come on in and have yourself a good bowl of lentil soup. Amen? That's not what Jacob says, right? Jacob, he replies, you know what? Sell me your birthright. You know, Esau was the firstborn, okay? How many know it's important when you're the firstborn in a household? You're the elder son or elder daughter, you know. And in this sense, of course, we're talking about two brothers. But he had the blessing of the firstborn. And Jacob wanted that blessing of being the firstborn, okay? So he tells him here, you know what? Yeah, I'll feed you, but you need to sell me your birthright today for a bowl of lentil soup. Now, Esau, I don't know what he's thinking about either. Amen? Jacob is in his world, and Esau is in his world too. Now, I know he's hungry. I know he wanted to eat, and he was weak. He was faint maybe from being out in the field. But, you know, both of them, they're in totally two different places here in their thinking. You know, Jacob is trying to be real conniving here, really slick here, okay? And Esau, he's just hungry. He just wants to eat. That's all that matters to him, right? Look at the story. He says in verse 32, and Esau said, behold, now I think he's exaggerating here a little bit. How many know sometimes we exaggerate? Amen? He says, behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? I mean, aren't you exaggerating maybe a little bit, Esau? Are you that hungry that you're going to die? I doubt it, okay? But we exaggerate sometimes, amen? He must have been really hungry. I can get that. But to say to the point I'm ready to die, I think he was going too far maybe, okay? But you see where they're both at. Jacob has a plan in his mind. Jacob here, how many know the word Jacob means supplanter? All right? Another word that you'll understand maybe more is deceiver. That's what the word Jacob means. Liar. Okay? This is Jacob that we're talking about. And so what does he do here? He's trying to con his brother to sell his birthright as the firstborn. All right? Pretty slick, Jacob. Pretty conniving. Pretty crafty guy. Okay? He's going to do what? Take advantage of this situation. Respect? Oh, boy, I think it's totally the opposite. Totally disrespecting his brother. Amen? Trying to take advantage of his brother because he's hungry and he wants something to eat. He says, yeah, you know what? I'll sell you some food. And what's the price for this food? My birthright. Hello. That's all. Wow. I don't think that soup was that good, do you? I don't think that lentil soup was that good. But you know what? Esau, he was so hungry. He says, you know what? I'm at the point to die. I don't know what this birthright is going to profit me right now. Because I need to eat. Amen? Anybody ever feel that way? When you're ready to eat, nothing else matters. Give me my food. How about it, Philip? Amen? Don't talk to me right now. Don't let me eat. Amen? Praise God. So look at what happens here. Verse 33, it says, and Jacob swears, he says to Esau, swear to me this day. Says, okay, I'm going to swear to you this day. He says, and he sware unto him, and he sold him his birthright unto Jacob. So he says, all right, I give you my birthright today for this bowl of lentil soup. Man, that was foolish, right? But he did it. He sold his birthright for a bowl of Bible soup. My Lord, I don't think it was that good. I hope he enjoyed it because Esau, he goes for this trick, okay? He goes for this plan that Jacob had, all right? This crafty plan, this cunning plan that Jacob had formulated in his mind. Esau doesn't even realize what he's doing, okay? But he gives in, and because he gives in, it says here in 34, then Jacob gave Esau bread. Oh, how nice of him. He also gave him bread, praise God. What a loving brother, amen? He gave them bread and he gave them a pottage of lentils. And what did Esau do? It says he ate and he drank and he rose up and he went his way. Okay? But look at then what it says too. It says, thus Esau despised his birthright. All right? Eventually, he realized what he did that he should have never done for a bowl of soup. Okay? He gave the blessing and the privilege of being the firstborn. He gave it away for something to eat. Okay? That's what takes place here. Jacob disrespects Esau. All right? He takes advantage of Esau, right? I ask today, do we ever disrespect anybody? Do we ever take advantage of anybody? I'm sure we all have at one time or another, okay? And that's not good. It's not pleasing to God, and it what? Causes problems when we allow that situation to happen. So here we see how Jacob disrespects Esau and he hurts his brother, okay? Takes advantage of him for something to eat. Now let's go on here a little bit more into this story, okay? And we're going to kind of do this a little bit quicker now. I want you to turn with me to Genesis 27. And we're going to read verses 1 to 45. We're just going to read this and then comment on it, okay? So you understand now, first, what's happened between Esau and Jacob, okay? Now we go to another point in their family. I want you to see what takes place here. Esau and Jacob, their story, their relationship, the way Jacob treats his brother, it doesn't end there, what we just read. It continues. It goes on further, okay? Jacob, the supplanter, the deceiver, the liar, he ain't done yet. Amen? And you know what? His mother now gets involved too. Wow, this is pretty interesting to me, okay? So in chapter 27, we're going to read verses 1 to 45, and then we'll comment a little bit on this. It says, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and he said unto him, my son, and he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. Amen. Remember what we read before about Isaac? He favored Esau because he would go hunt for him so he could eat deer meat. Amen. He tells him here, I want you to go and get me some venison. Amen. He says, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. You need to remember this verse. He says, Esau, I want you to go hunt and get me some venison and bring it back to me and feed me with this food. And you know what? Then my soul is going to bless you before I die. All right? Isaac was going to bless his eldest son. So he says, go and get me some food. When you come back, I'm going to bless you. Because I don't know how many years I got left. I don't know how many days I got left. I'm old. I'm getting old and older. And he says here that his eyes are dim. He doesn't see very well. How many know as we get older, our sight changes? Amen. That's why Pastor Rich went to get laser vision. Amen. Thank God for it. Praise God. I'm so blessed I did that, right? So let's look at what happens here. Verse 5. And it says, here comes mom in the picture. Here comes Rebekah. It says, and Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison, which is deer meat, and to bring it. So Rebekah hears what Isaac is telling Esau. Amen? Ooh, look at Rebekah, what she does. Praise God. In verse 6, and Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son. Remember, she favored who? Jacob. Amen? saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Rebekah hears this, okay? She's telling this to Jacob now. Amen. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. So Rebekah's saying, Jacob, you need to listen to me now. Right? Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two kids of the goats. Right? And I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. Rebekah, now, because she favors Jacob, she says, You know what, Jacob, I want you to go get some meat and I'll cook it up. Go kill one of the goats there, right? And I'm going to cook it and prepare it, and you could bring it to your father so that he can bless you, not Esau. Amen? That's what we're reading here. Verse 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, he's a hairy man. Remember, we found out that he was hairy, right? And I am a smooth man. Smooth. No hair. Very little hair. Okay? My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Now listen to the mother, what she says. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me then. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, and she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So picture this today, church. Rebekah, not only is Jacob a deceiver, Rebekah is. Amen? Jacob is acting like his mother. They're in this together. Amen? She says, you know what? Go get the goats and I'm going to cook them and get the meat ready. And then Jacob says, but, you know, Dad's going to feel me and he's going to see that I'm not hairy like my son. So Rebekah says, well, we'll put some hair on you. Amen? She makes him hairy. She puts hair all over him so that if the father was to feel him, he would say, oh, yes, this is Esau, the hairy one. You talk about a slick mind. Amen? Who was this? Rebekah, telling her son what to do. Amen? Two of them were in this today. Okay? We see mother and son working together here to get what they wanted to get. Disrespect. Amen? Ooh, this is powerful here. In verse 18, it says, And he came unto his father and said, This is Jacob now, My father, he said, Here am I, who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. So Isaac says, Who are you? He says, I'm Esau, your first son, your eldest. Plain out lies to his father, okay? Says that he's his brother. This is Jacob. This is not Esau. He says, no, I'm Esau, okay? I went and got your meat. He says, I pray thee now that you will sit and eat this venison so that you will bless me. How many know today that we all want to be blessed, amen? And It's important that we receive the blessing of the Lord, but how do we receive that blessing of the Lord is what matters. Amen? If we do something the wrong way to receive a blessing, how many know that that blessing will not even be a blessing when you get it? Amen? You're going to have a curse. Amen? Rebecca, she said to her son, you know what? I'll take the curse of what you're doing. Sounds like when they crucified Jesus. Remember the people, they said, let the curse be on us that we're crucifying him today. Amen? How many remember that? We talked about that on Easter Sunday, right? So we see here the lying. Jacob lies to Isaac, his father here. Why? Because he wants the blessing of the elder son. And the mother, Rebecca, she's in this all the way. She makes it possible for Jacob to have this food ready and to feel like he's hairy just like the older son. All right? It's a setup. It's deception here. It's falsehood here. Whatever you want to call it. Total disrespect here of what we're seeing happen here. So look at verse 20. It says, "And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" Isaac says, "Man, you really went out quick and got this food, this meat prepared, and you're back already." Isaac kind of wonders. This kind of didn't take very long. Starts to be a little suspicious of his son here. Amen? He says, and he said, look at the response that Jacob gives. He says, "And because the Lord thy God brought it to me." The Lord thy God didn't bring it. Rebecca, the mother, brought it. Amen? After he went and got it in the field, the mother prepared the food for him. Right? Another lie. My God. Talk about deception here. Verse 21, it says, "And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." So see how Rebecca knew her husband, that he was going to want to feel the son to make sure this is the right son. This is Esau, not Jacob. Because remember, Isaac was old, and Isaac couldn't see that well. Amen? So he had to feel him to make sure this was the right son. So in 22 it says, "And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." Wow. So again, the father, he says, "Man, this sounds like Jacob, but it feels like the hands of Esau." Okay? So again, father was in his mind saying, "Boy, something don't seem right here." But he continues on, okay? So in 23, it says, "And he discerned him not," meaning the father discerned not Jacob, "because his hands were hairy, and as his brother Esau's hands were, so he blessed him." He wanted that blessing, right? Verse 24 says, "And he said, Thou art my very son Esau? And he said, I am." Lies again, right to his father, face to face. He says in verse 25, "And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed." So Isaac here was totally deceived. Amen. Jacob fools his father. And Rebekah was in it all the way with her son. They both fool the father. Okay? He doesn't realize this is not Esau. This is Jacob, the deceiver, the subplanner, the liar. Amen? He doesn't see it. So in 28 it says, "Therefore God..." Now here's the blessing. Isaac is blessing his son now here. He says, "Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee." Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. That's the blessing. Dad gives the blessing to Jacob, thinking it was Esau, the firstborn, the elder son. Now look at what happens here, verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. So as soon as Jacob had left, right, he got the blessing from his dad, he leaves. As soon as he leaves, here comes Esau. Look what happens here. And he also had made savory meat, and he brought it unto his father, and he said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. Esau comes in, he's excited, he's ready to feed dad, give him a good meal of venison, and he says, I want you to take this, dad, and eat, so then you can bless me, your son. Amen. And we read here in verse 32, and Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? All of a sudden, the father is starting to say, oh my God, something's wrong here. Okay? He said, where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. Where's the person who was here before that I blessed, who gave me food to eat? Where is he now? He says. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. Can you imagine that? He cried, he wept before his dad, and he said unto his dad, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother, Isaac knows it now. Dad realizes what happened. He says, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. He said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. Wow. Then he said, has thou not reserved a blessing for me? So Esau, he realizes Jacob came and lied to his father, and not only did he first steal his birthright, but now he comes and he pretends to be Esau, and now he steals the blessing that was going to be put on Esau as the elder son, the firstborn. Esau is just totally what? Disappointed. Amen? Totally devastated that his brother not only messed around with him once, but came back and did it again to him. And Isaac says, you know what? Isn't his name rightly named Jacob? He's acting like his name. Amen? He's doing what his name means, meaning a supplanter, a deceiver, a liar. Okay? He walks in deception. Verse 37, and Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? He tells him, I've given the blessing to Jacob. Everybody's going to serve Jacob. Everybody's going to follow Jacob. Jacob has received my blessing. He says, what am I going to give to you, my son? He says in 38, and Esau said unto his father, has thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and he wept. Talk about again disappointment. Okay? He was supposed to get that blessing. Amen? He was supposed to get the blessing of the father, and it's gone now. Okay? Can't be retracted. It can't be taken back. All right? He already gave it to Jacob because he was deceived, the father. Amen? And so we read here, and Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And we read, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning of my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. Here comes Rebekah again. Amen. She's going to get involved again. Amen. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then will I send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? So picture this, church. Jacob, he lies to his father Isaac so that he can receive his blessing. And here we see in this story that this deception that Jacob has, it's in the mother. Okay? How many know what's in mom and dad is going to go into the children? Amen? We see it here, and we see how parental influence here was happening. Okay? How mom influenced her son and caused him to do some of the things that he did here. And we know how they formed a disguise and they deceived their father. Jacob here lies to his dad outright to receive this blessing. Isaac is too old. He can't see very well, so he doesn't know what's going on. Jacob is fooled, right? Then Esau comes, and then Isaac realizes that Jacob had deceived him. He trembles at what's happened here, okay? Because he knows a mistake was done. Isaac, the father, feels terrible about what took place. So we see here, Esau, he cries with great and exceeding disappointment. Sometimes in our lives we can have disappointments like that, that we actually cry and we weep. Okay? The story I told you about what happened to me, I actually cried and wept. Okay? Because I didn't understand what was happening. I said, Lord, why have I done something wrong? Can you imagine here how Esau feels? And he cries, and he doesn't understand what's taking place. Great and exceeding disappointment comes. So Jacob, we see here walking in subtlety, because that's who he was. He was the subplanter, and he tricked Esau two times. Takes advantage of his brother two times here. What a sad situation that takes place. So because of this, Isaac now, he tells his son that, you know what, you're going to have to be subject to your brother. And because of that, Esau now, he hates his brother and he wants to kill him. Okay? How many know that's not a good reaction to when we have disappointment? And that's what happens. When we have disappointment in our life, we want to what? Retaliate many times. But how many know today that we need to look to God? God says, I will recompense. Amen. Sometimes we want to take things in our own hands. You know, when I felt that I was done wrong in my own self, I probably wanted to do something about what took place in my situation. But God said, you don't need to do nothing. I have everything under control. Amen. I'm going to take care of this situation. All right. I had to trust God in my situation. Esau here had to do the same, even though it was a very difficult situation. So here we see mom again coming into the picture, and because she finds out about what Esau wants to do to his brother, she sends Jacob away for a while, hoping that, you know what, Esau is going to forget about what took place and is going to let this slide. Are we like that today? Does time heal when we're disappointed? Or do we hold vendettas against people when people do us wrong? How many know as a Christian today, we can't be that way, amen? We have to release that to God and let God take care of it. We're going to close here just by reading these last four verses. I want you to turn quickly to Genesis 33, 1 to 4. And I want you to see a beautiful ending that takes place here with the two brothers, okay? Esau hated his brother and wanted to kill his brother for what he did to him twice. But look at what God does, okay? And look what God will do for us when we encounter disappointment sometimes. In chapter 33, it says here, "And Jacob lifted up his eyes." Now, many years have gone by here, okay? We don't have time to go into that. "And he looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men." He probably was worried right there. He's got 400 men. He's going to kill me right now. But that's not what's going to happen. "And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaidens." Here we see that Jacob had gone to be with Laban and he got married two wives. Okay, you know the story. He served Laban for many years. And it says here in verse 2, "And he put the handmaidens and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost." So he kind of set all the family up in a certain place as they got together. And in verse 3 it says, "And he passed over before them." And look at what happens here. It says, "And he bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept." Praise God. I'm going to read that again. It says, "And Esau ran to meet him, and he embraced him, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him, and they wept." Okay? What do we see here today? We see the brothers coming together, amen? We see forgiveness and reconciliation, amen? Forgiveness and reconciliation as they embraced and they kissed each other and as they wept, okay? How many know we need to do that sometimes? Amen? When we've been disappointed, when things have not gone the way that we thought, maybe when people have taken advantage of us, as God allows this to happen in our lives, you know what? We need to not hold grudges. We need to not have hatred and murder for people, but we need to be able to walk in forgiveness and reconciliation and be able to embrace one another and even kiss one another again. Amen? How much more, this was family that we need to do it. But even besides family, we need to be able to do this. This was a beautiful sight that we see here. What this is that we see here that we are to respect our families. Amen. This is what we see here. We're not only to respect our families, but we're to show respect to everyone. Amen. Respect. When you respect someone, that means, you know what? You're not going to do them wrong. Praise God. When you respect people, that means you're going to treat people like you want to be treated. Amen. When you respect people, that means you're not going to take advantage of people, but you're going to treat them like you want to be treated. Praise God. How many know today what you sow is what you're going to reap? Praise God. And we love the proverb, or the golden rule, which is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Amen? So in this situation here, what a story today that we can understand and learn and apply to us that, you know what? It doesn't pay to try to take advantage of people. Amen? It doesn't pay to try to steal somebody else's blessing. Amen? How many know there's enough blessing for all of us today? Amen. There is. And you know what? What blessing might be for someone here, you know what? God may have a total different blessing for you here. So you shouldn't be jealous of somebody else's blessing. Amen. Like here, the story with Jacob and Esau, you know what? Jacob should not have been jealous of his brother, that he was the firstborn, that he was the elder. He should not have been jealous of wanting the blessing that the father was going to give to the eldest son. Because the second son was going to be blessed too. Right? We got to be that way today. Praise God. Same way. So let's stand here today. I know I'll let you out a little bit later here. We went through a lot of scripture here. So we're going to pray. And I'm just going to ask God to, if you're experiencing any kind of disappointment today, amen, I'm going to ask you to release it to God. Okay? If maybe somebody has taken advantage of you, like we see the story here, I want you to give it to God today. Amen? I want you to release it. All right? If you're hurt today because of a loved one, you need to let it go. Release it to God. Let God heal you and believe God to resolve the situation. Amen? Took years here in this situation with Esau and Jacob, but resolution came, forgiveness came, reconciliation came. It'll come for you if you trust God today. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, today for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this story that we've been able to read and understand about Esau and Jacob and Isaac and Rebekah and what takes place in this family, Lord God. Lord, help us today to learn, even in a greater way, about respect one for another, Lord. That, God, we would not take advantage of anyone, Lord. God, that we would not want someone else's blessing, Lord, because you have the blessing for all of us today, Lord. Father, I pray that if any one of us is experiencing disappointment here today, we would release it to you right now, God. Help us to release any of that disappointment, any of that hurt right now, in the name of Jesus. Help us to let it go, Lord. And that, Lord, you would heal us and deliver us from all disappointment today, Lord. Father, touch us here today. Strengthen us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone says, amen and amen. I hope this has been a blessing to you. Praise God. I hope this high point message has been brought to you through the scripture and that you will receive a blessing from this. One thing I'm just going to say before you leave is because of what's happening next Sunday, I believe we should change the luncheon to the following Sunday, okay? I don't want to see half our people have to leave because of the ministry that we got going on next Sunday, so that's what I'm going to decide to do right now. We will change the luncheon to the following Sunday, okay? Everything else will be the same, but the luncheon will be pushed back a week so that everybody can be here. Sound good to everybody? All right. God bless you. Greet someone before you go. Amen.